this is the third time I've been here, so I mean, it hasn't been a lot yet, but hopefully I can keep coming back. But just the people I've met along the way have been fantastic.
That was Luke Hubbard. He was the featured artist at last weekend's Art Splash. I also talked with Sioux City's own Greg Berenstain. Berenstain practiced law for many years and lived in Chicago, but returned to Sioux City eventually. Berenstain talked about how he decided to spend more time on his painting and the arts.
About a year and a half ago, sort of my COVID project was kind of discovering that I can work with this vinyl product that comes in a variety of colors, dozens and dozens of colors, that I found I could make artwork with it. And so I started that during COVID, and people were just extraordinarily supportive and saying, hey, this stuff is great, and they were interested in it. People actually wanted to buy it, which was a novel feeling to creating. And so just it really started small, and I've now kind of started doing much larger scale work, which is great because it's funny that I'm finding people react even more positively to the large-scale stuff because they can see where they could put something like that in their house. My work is mostly abstract. I have kind of been doing a little in the area of still lifes and figurative work, and that's been fascinating for me because I would not describe myself as a, certainly not as a trained artist. If somebody said, take a pencil and draw a landscape, I could not do that. But with this particular medium, I think I can create really cool images, including figurative sort of characters. People have asked me to actually take family photographs and create real abstract looks of their family for a large scale image. Yeah, it's really
neat.
That
sounds great. This isn't your first career, though.
No, it's not. I was a lawyer for a long, long time, in Chicago mostly. For about 30 years, I lived in Chicago, and I practiced law with several large law firms. Moved back to Sioux City about 10 years ago. Practiced here for a little while. Then I was lucky enough to start teaching at Witt and at Morningside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I taught business law courses.
Yeah.
And then with COVID, I kind of got to the point where I thought, I'm going to give a break to the teaching. And so, again, the opportunity to kind of become creative on the artwork sort of fell upon me. And that became, I guess, almost my third career.
Yeah, but in your family, law is kind of the family business, isn't it?
It is. Well, yes, thank you. It is. My dad has been a lawyer in Sioux City for over 50 years, almost maybe 55 years or so, but he's retired now.
How old is your dad?
84.
Oh, my goodness.
He's 84, doing fine. He's doing great.
Wow.
And I think he's kind of enjoying discovering new things himself. And the way I've discovered doing artwork, he's discovered bridge and boxing and things that are keeping him busy as well. And then Craig, my brother, my twin brother, who's been here since he and I graduated from law school, is also a lawyer, or was a lawyer, now is a banker. So all three of us are doing new and different things and exciting things.
It's great to have different, you know, eras of your career, different things that you do, because I think sometimes if you get stuck in that one area, it gets very dull.
Yeah, and I, for myself, for years and years, especially the years that I was living in Chicago, I had such great access to design and learning about art. I was never trained and I never took classes in college or anything, but I had so much access to really amazing design and artwork, galleries and artists and all, that I realized I had such an interest in it, and now I'm lucky enough to be able to actually, it's my own sort of little vocation. It's great. It's great to have a new career that's more creative than maybe law felt to me.
Yeah, and how do you find doing art in Sioux City? Do you ever think, oh, I wish I were still in Chicago or somewhere?
Well, I miss Chicago all the time, but I tell people that Sioux City has a really good art community.
Right.
There are a lot of really talented artists of all different mediums, sculpture, just basic wall art, you know, the two-dimensional art, but a really strong, really talented community here. And there are a lot of people who are now starting to add galleries. There's the new space at the old Carlton's building, Art Sucks, Amy Thompson got great vision, not only for her own work, but for what she can do to create a community of artists herself. And then there are the several galleries over in the Ho-Chunk building that are doing great.
And that's right.
And really, really talented work. I mean, it's as good in Sioux City in terms of the individual talent as anywhere that I see. Not, you know, and certainly I'd put it up to any artist in Chicago. So there may be fewer of us here in Sioux City, but I think just really, really talented people.
I think Sioux City often gets a bad, you know, rap compared to Sioux Falls or Omaha or the Twin Cities, but I think that's kind of unfair at this point.
I agree with you. I think it's partly that they're not looking, you know, they're just not paying attention to what's going on in a community like Sioux City. And since we see it, we know that it exists. We know, you know, what a strong, vibrant art community there is in this town. And I think some of it's just people in Sioux Falls or Omaha or Minneapolis or Kansas City not wanting to acknowledge that even a small community can actually have really great talent.
Those are great places to visit, and you get a lot of great ideas there.
Yeah.
The nice thing about Sioux City is that wherever you live, it's only like 10 to 15 minutes to get where you're going.
Right. So, very, very rarely is there a traffic problem.
Unless there's a train.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
You might have
yeah.
a train.
Those trains do kind of create havoc. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of really good qualities to being in a smaller community. Because of my time in Chicago, I can, you know, attest to the reality of knowing what it's like to be stuck in traffic every single day, even on a Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
No, there are really great qualities to being in a smaller community, and at the same time, a lot of the things that you think don't exist in a town like this, they do. Like I said, a lot of times it's people just not wanting to recognize it. If you live in Omaha, you don't want to recognize that there are good artists up in Sioux City. Look at an event like this. I mean, there, you know, something like Art Splash, and we're on the kids' activity side instead of the artist side. Look at the energy and the fun and what's going on. This is as good as anything you'd find in Omaha or Kansas City in terms of a festival. The quality of the artists, I walked around and I looked at who else is showing in addition to where my booth is. You know, great. There's some great ceramicists. There's a woman doing glasswork from Vermont. It's extraordinary how beautiful that work is. And so a show like this is as good and can compete with any other show that might be around. What the Arts Center itself does to organize this event is just extraordinary. How well run it is, how many people they have working, the volunteers, you know, from Aaron on down, what they're doing here is just incredibly, it's great, and it's an incredible tribute to what they're doing and how hard they work to put on this event.
Yeah, I think they do. I was thinking about what they did in the spring. They did like a fundraiser outreach, and it was pretty much virtual, but you would come and pick up your activity thing in your little bag, and you donate, and they give you a little taster menu and things like that. Even during COVID, they did something I thought was very successful and really reached out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know?
And it shows again that, you know, the nature of creativity, and you can't slow down. You just have to find another way to do it.
And
not that I in any way think there's anything good that came out of COVID, but if one at least positive thing is that it sort of encouraged us and forced us to find other ways of doing things. That's certainly what I, even personally, that's what COVID did for me, because it created an art career for me. You know, it sort of allowed me to have the time to be able to do it. And I think that's what the Art Center and so many other organizations around town have done as well, is they dealt with COVID by saying, we're going to find a new way and a better way to be able to do this, just like that event you're talking about.
Yeah, it was really good. Do you have any favorite artists in particular?
I get that question a lot because my work is very, I really do pull from a lot of different sources or resources of influence. I would say almost all 20th century artists, nothing earlier. And I'm a huge fan of mid-century.
Me too.
So whether it's American artists from the 50s and 60s or European artists, I mean, like if you were to look at my work that I'm showing today, there's things that have a real Matisse element to them. I love Mondrian, so there's a real quality of that sort of abstract look to it. I guess I would say those are sort of some of my strongest influences. I love Bauhaus movement from the 20s and 30s, so that's a huge influence for what I'm doing. So I'd almost say that design periods are more influential to me than individual artists. So Russian constructivist work from the 20s and 30s is a big influence for me as well. And then just modernism. I think of modernism sort of starting in the 40s, 50s, and into the 60s. That's really the strongest influence for my work.
Funny, I watch Antiques Roadshow, and people have art there, and they'll bring it, and they'll find out what it is and all that. And I like the shows where they come back and they re-show something a couple years later, and they had like a really great quote on something from an artist that was really big.
Yeah.
And then like a couple years later, they do that dumbbell thing, and it's worth like thousands less.
Oh, really?
So what is it about?
So what
art?
Caused it to go less?
Yeah.
Like when you, what?
Yeah.
What?
Why?
Are you saying that it was correctly valued at the time
and then went down?
Well, I guess the reality is art, like anything, does have cycles, just like furniture. You know, in the 80s and into the 90s, American antiques were huge. And then come the turn of the century, in 2005, I don't think you could sell a beautiful piece of American antique furniture because there just wasn't hot anymore. And contemporary furniture and furniture from the 50s became popular.
Yeah.
So it's possible that's what was happening, was that it wasn't as popular as it seemed to be at the time, and that's market price always affects that level of art.
That was Sioux City's Greg Berenstein, another one of the artists that showed and sold some of his paintings at last weekend's Art Splash. And if you were at Art Splash inside the Sioux City Art Center, you had a chance to see some of the award-winning films from years past at the Sioux City International Film Festival. But this year's film festival won't be quite the same without Rick Mullen. The co-founder of the event more than 16 years ago died suddenly in February. However, the festival will go on September 30th through October 3rd downtown at the Promenade Cinema. I talked with co-founder Tim Botero about the festival, its focus on Latinx films this year, and also how everyone will miss Rick Mullen.
So we have someone coming from L.A. and a couple coming in from the Twin Cities and some by Zoom that will be talking about the experience of Latin filmmakers. We've had, some people will say, why International Film Festival? It's because fully a third of our submissions are from foreign countries. So we get a lot from Latin America, South America. This year, some new countries we have in are Brazil, Armenia. It's funny, Kosovo, we've been getting a steady flow of films in from, in areas that I think people don't think of as having a film community, and they do.
Yeah. So now, do you have all of your entries in for the film fest?
Yes. We had over 300 entries. A panel of judges viewed, we broke up the films, viewed them, and now we're in the process of, out of the 85, we've taken the top three or four of each genre. And then we have, we're in the process of ranking them so that they will be awarded trophies and cash prizes. And then we have an audience favorite, too, that the audience can vote on during the festival.
Yeah. And now, how is it going to work this year? Where are the films going to be shown?
The films are all at the Promenade. And this year, we're going from October 1st through the 3rd. And the first night, in fact, we're doing local films. And we're also showing the film Storm Lake. This will be the first time it's shown outside of Storm Lake.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's premiere outside of Storm Lake. And we're excited about that. What we have is if you have a VIP pass, you can go to all of the showings of the... And our films are shown in blocks by genre. And then what happens is you can go to all of those. And then we have post parties, after parties. And the after party for... Storm Lake will be at the Warrior.
Ooh, okay.
And we have them at other locations, primarily on 4th Street around the Promenade. And so we keep it kind of compact so the filmmakers can explore the area but also be close to everything that happens.
Wow. You know, I know that you were pretty close to Rick Mullen, and you and he were, you know, really the founders of the film festival, kind of the heart and soul of the film festival. And I think everyone was just really surprised and saddened when he died earlier this year.
It was just a complete shock. I mean, he had had no health problems. He woke up, had breakfast with his wife, said he was tired, went back to bed, and never woke up again.
Wow.
And so it was just such a shock when the word hit. And it was such a loss because Rick has put his heart into so many different organizations. But this is one that we worked hard for so many years because we love films and we wanted people to see this, see these films, that they'd have no other chance to see them other than this setting. And it's we've made great bonds with filmmakers from around the world. And it's just been a work of love. And Rick was a huge promoter of it.
How has the film festival evolved? Has it been like, what, 15 years? Has it been?
16, yeah. This
16.
Is
16.
Well,
wow.
When it first started, our submissions were on VCR tapes. So we would receive tapes from around the world. I remember one year we got one from Korea, and we were always like, gosh, how did this survive, the mail system? There were years when we thought, gee, will we have enough people to be able, or enough films to be able to put on a festival? We always did. We were able to... We were a one-day film festival for the first 10 years, and we had showings in the afternoon and the evening at the Orpheum. The afternoon crowd tended to be older because we were always in January, and then the evening crowd was more of a mix. And then we decided, you know, because one year we did have a blizzard that about did it in, and we thought, you know, all this work can maybe not happen after one year because of the blizzard.
Right,
so we expanded
yeah.
it. We went up to 5 days, and this problem we had with that was it was a lot of work for, you know, not a lot of people. And it kind of diluted the audience.
Right.
So we brought it down to a three-day festival, which I think is a nice number.
Right.
And we are the longest continuously running shorts festival in Iowa. We've been around for a long time. And we have a great reputation internationally. We've had filmmakers fly in from Paris.
Yeah.
It's been really neat. And we made contacts. A couple of years ago, we had this filmmaker from New York who makes the most unbelievable films. I mean, he made an Italian film set in World War II, and he had a World War II vintage train in the film.
Wow.
And so he came out. He'd been wanting to come out for years. He'd been submitting. And he came out and he told us, he said, you know, I had no idea Sioux City had the quality films that they had. It just blew him away. He said
right.
it had some of the best
right.
quality films. And so he understood when his film didn't win.
Yeah.
But he was surprised because they just won the Venice Film Festival in Venice, Italy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're going around the world. And we're holding our own here.
Wow. Gosh. So tell me again, what are the dates?
The dates are October 1st through the 3rd, so Thursday through Sunday, at the Promenade. You can buy your passes online.
Right.
You can buy them at the door. I believe it's on Friday that we have the seminars or the presentations.
Right, yeah.
And that'll be at the Courtyard by Marriott.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because, like I say, we try to keep it all in that area.
Exactly. So. Well, gosh, Tim Butera, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For stopping by.
Sure.